We're sitting on Lake Grasmere, and I'm with Daniel Boren. We've just watched the regatta, which is on the 30th anniversary of the first time the piece was shown. Whereabouts was the first showing?
In the Wannsee in Berlin, on this huge lake, where all the activity at that time, more or less outdoor activity in Berlin, was happening.
This was 30 years ago?
Exactly 30 years ago, yes.
Okay. And since that time, you've also shown this piece in 8 other venues, including this one?
Yeah, I don't remember the numbers exactly, but it's certainly around 8 or 9 in different places, in lakes and river, and even in the sea, in Israel, in Tel Aviv.
So with each time you show the piece, it becomes a different experience?
So first of all, it's quite a didactic piece, but it was like that at that moment. So we kept the same rule, where the first step is done on the water, and the second step, both have to be connected, is in inside space, which can be a museum, a gallery, but it has to be a couple of steps to make and to complete the piece. After that, it's always different. The installation inside follows the arrival of the regatta, speaking about the range of the colors, but it's always different depending on the space. And the regatta itself follows a rule of a regatta, and of course, it's always different because the side, because the people who plays, etc., etc. It's like a partition of music, which is the same, but which is replayed and with different players.
So in that sense, it's a performance. And then afterwards, you take the sails into the gallery and install them in the gallery space?
Yes. So the reading of the bows makes the piece completed.
Do you feel it's going to be a lifetime project, that it might happen again?
You know, this piece doesn't belong to me anymore. It's a work which was bought by friends, collectors, Suzanne and Selman Selvi. And when they wanted this piece, I said immediately, this is not possible, because I knew that it will end on a wall somewhere, and it was not at all the spirit of the piece. And they said, but what we should do with such a piece? I said, for example, you have kids, and if they play, that was 30 years ago, they can play with it, of course. But also, the only way to show it is to have it like we did the piece. So you should use it, and maybe then you can have it on your apartment or I don't know where, but not to be fixed forever, like a painting, let's say. And then they said, well, okay, we will do even better. We will try to organize or to do things with regatta, etc. And that's exactly what they did. So since they have the work, we have done 7 or 8 or 9 different representation, can we say, yeah, of the work.
It becomes very playful and also very collaborative and eventful.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, from the beginning, more or less the idea. So as long, and I don't see why the thing should stop, we have this connection, as long as we can use the same material, and as long as these boats exist, because they are already very old boats for kids. I'm not a specialist, but I am even surprised that these boats are still in use more or less everywhere in the world, to train young kids to play with a sail. As long as that exists, I think if it's become very difficult because the boats, for example, are not made anymore, so we have to almost collect the boats or I don't know what.
The boats are very authentic wooden, the old style.
Yeah, so if that will disappear one day, I think then the piece will be a little meaningless to do, or too much archaeologic, which I will not like.
So in that sense, it sort of has a natural lifespan.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
And can you say a little bit about the colours and the sails, which with this very much your signature stripe, and how you went about originally designing them or planning
when I decided to do this piece, we immediately, of course, work with a little nautic group in Berlin, and they were having 9 boats, so that's the numbers. And from 9 boats, then I did make 2 colors, a group of 2 colors, and one which is unique because it was the only way to do it. And we used the color which were available at that time. So that was basically red, green, blue, yellow, and one brown.
Mm-hmm. And apparently the brown one has never won the regatta.
It's what I heard. I think it's true.
It's quite interesting. It's an outsider.
Never get into the first place.
How do you feel about this environment that you're in? We're sitting in the middle of the Lake District, which were at the Wordsworth Trust, a place that Wordsworth felt very inspired by, wrote lots of poetry, desired to live here, and in the end he did live here. How is it for you when you're just watching the boats come by? I mean, I thought it was very poetic, actually, as a statement.
You know, I think, first of all, of course, this landscape is so special, and I don't think you cannot be taken by the charm of this area. And I know it since only 3 days, so not to say I know anything. But I think the lake, especially of Grasmere, which is rather a small lake, with all these small mountains or hills all around, etc., etc., are very much in scale with this little boat. So to compare with the other places where it was always a big lake or the sea or even the river, it's always quite different. This one seems to be almost like the most in scale.
And up in the library, which has now been turned into a gallery, it's a fantastic space, very, very old space with the beams. Mm-hmm. How did that feel for you when you saw your work installed in this rather beautiful, very old space, your blue wall installation?
I like to work as much as possible with very different scale and places. So this gives another possibility of something which automatically look different because of this environment. And even if you just speak about the small architecture of the old farm and the beams and the color of the beams, etc., it gives a mark to the piece, as well as the piece certainly changed a little bit the environment, which is immediately operating well, more than if it's a more neutral place where you get inside and then you are anywhere in the world with a supposedly neutral white cube. Mm. So even small, it has this characteristic, and then the few houses I visit since 3 days, they are all with the same characteristic of the scale, which is which remind me a lot the Japanese houses.
Okay, that's interesting.
And it's funny because you see Japanese people absolutely everywhere,
yes,
here, and I'm almost sure they feel home.
And soon the sails will be returning from the lake and we'll be going up to the gallery space. Now, this is part of the process of how the piece maps
exactly
itself out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an idea about where you'll place the sails?
We decided yesterday, and it's really just one of the possibilities, but you cannot make it in 100 different ways. You can do it in 100 different ways depending on spaces, but I choose one where you can see the 9 different colors, and they will be, like usually, arranged to see the first on the left, the second after, etc., etc., from A to Z.
Yes, okay.
But by arrival.
Mm. And I suppose it's always one of those pieces, you never really know exactly what it's going to look like until you finish.
If you have a different arrangement of the color, it's not exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's very close, but it's not exactly the same. And when I don't know the space before, I cannot really imagine what we will do. The sail, which are for small boats, if you compare with a boat, it's very small. But if you compare with an object, it's very big.
And you've also got that relationship between the inside and the outside, and also the relationship between the wall piece and the sail, and the dynamic of the space in between, and the viewer moving between the different things.
That's what I said before about the two different readings, which together, I think, opens the question of what is, for example, a painting. For example, are they painting on the cell or just painting inside the museum? Mm-hmm. I think they are certainly paintings or work of art in the museum. I'm not sure it's a work of art outside. So outside, it's first of all a cell, which is done to take the wind and to move the board. So these two extremes, that's why I said it's rather didactic, and usually I don't do work so didactic, but this was done in 75, and that was for me to push further this idea of the importance of the location to something you want to show. These two extremes were certainly showing very clearly that in one side you have a view which bring you somewhere and the other one bring you somewhere else. Yeah, exactly. It's why both are interesting together, but only one is a little incomplete.
Yeah. Can you say a little bit about the materials of the wall piece? How did you choose the blue for the wall piece?
I did not really choose. I did that with sketches through email, and I wanted just to have a color where they will have not too much problem to find. So, and I pick up this blue.
Looks absolutely stunning, the blue. It's a sort of aquamarine blue.
Yeah, it's a kind of a real deep blue, and I mean, not knowing the space, it has absolutely no relation with the situation, but it's just a color for it for itself.
Okay. I wonder now if you mind if I ask you a few things about the Guggenheim show. It's just been a very interesting installation of your work, which is partly a new piece and partly some retrospective of some of your old pieces.
I mean, it was only, as you said, one room with a work done 40 years ago, more or less. So it's not really a retrospective. It was just one piece, very whole. And all the other works, which were mainly three big pieces, were done just for the exhibition.
And originally in 1971, your piece was taken down.
That was another story, but in 35 years ago, I was part of the Six International Guggenheim, and before the opening, they took out my work and nothing was visible for the public, so that piece was censured and never existed.
So it's fantastic that you finally got to make what you wanted.
But that's something else, because I could have never done such a piece 35 years ago.
That's true.
But my view of the museum and the way to use it did not change. I'm still completely thinking the same about the strengths, the beauty, and the difficulty of the Guggenheim. So I did a new work, but my reflection about the Guggenheim as a museum to exhibit was absolutely the same. I think it's an absolutely beautiful space. It's a great architecture. And I think it's totally impossible for the most production of art. Paintings cannot work there, sculpture, it's very difficult to work there. The only thing possible is to play with the museum, which I did, in fact, in 1970. And that was the first time. That certainly also was one of the reasons some American artists were a little upset about seeing somebody else, not American, unknown, and even worse, French, using such a space. So they exclude me, that's all.
I find that outrageous, but
it is outrageous, and it's also, it was, and even if I was quite shocked when the thing happened, it was completely stupid to do so. And I think even these two famous, and I think great artists, Flavin and Judd, suffer all the rest of their life with this story, because it was always someone to say, but why did you do that?
Because really, they, you know, their approach should have been encompassing such a work.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. And they always said, oh, we did nothing, that was a museum, but that is wrong. Mm-hmm. The museum was stupid, mm-hmm. but they were pushing the museum to do that. Mm. So anyhow, I thought already at that time, it's very few way to show anything in that museum. And 35 years later, I show the same strong idea in a way in doing a piece, which of course it was specific mm-hmm. for this exhibition. Plus the fact I took away completely any work from the ramps. So it was the full architecture, not empty, but working for itself.
I think it worked very well with the architecture. I looked at the space differently and my eyes were drawn up to the light.
One of the most beautiful things of this architecture is also the light mm. this architecture gave. Mm. And usually the light is completely broken. They mask the skylight, they mask the other light coming from each floor mm. in the ramp. And so I reopen all that. Yeah. So they destroy the light yes. in order to make the painting surviving yes. or the object, which are too fragile mm. to survive. Mm-hmm. And to put that back completely open, change the light for anyone who knows the place. They suddenly get the feeling that my piece give more light, but it's not true.
Okay.
Just before was a big show of the Aztec, for example, and yeah. the museum was almost dark. Black walls and brown walls, so everything was extremely dark. And then it was some vitrine where you really see well the mask or whatsoever. Yeah. But the light from the skylights was almost erased. So that's true that for the people who saw the Aztec and to see my piece mm. after was almost day for night.
Yes, fantastic difference. Are you planning to do any more museum pieces?
Well, I'm always invited in different places.
I think we should definitely have you in Tate Modern.
I've never been invited, mm. so. No, I have a show, by the way, next year in the museum in Oxford. And I show there. It looks terrible to speak like that, but 33 years ago. So it's good.
You're having a renaissance.
Yeah, right.
I don't think you've ever not been here, because your work also was, you know, for students and anybody learning about the mid-20th century art, the idea of installation, of using the site-specific. Okay. You've been very important in that sense.
So it would be good if I can show what I can do.
Yes. Okay, well, thank you very much indeed. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot.